Hello and welcome back to Key to IP, the show that features intellectual property experts and takes a deep dive into intangible assets and innovations. I'm your host, Tracy Gladden, and today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence, AI inventorship, and machine learning with two key players at the Denmeyer Group, Steve Shape and Dr. Matthias Putzel. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Tracy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Tracy, for the invitation.
Yes, of course. I'm really excited to have both of you join us today as experts on both sides of the AI as an inventor subject. Matthias specializing in technology and science, and then Steve on the legal side. I think this will be a pretty robust conversation today. We'll start with you, Matthias. You are one of the co-founders of Octomine, a software solution that uses artificial intelligence to analyze patent and technology data more quickly and much easier. So what are some of the projects that you specialize in?
Yeah, so we mainly focus on text data. So Octomine uses patent data to identify similar patents. So our machine learning algorithms mainly focus on analyzing the text of a patent. So we are not going into pictured analysis or, let's say, any kind of numbers that we're analyzing. So it's purely based on text data. You could also say it's natural language processing.
Okay. And Steve, you're the managing partner at Denmeyer & Associates US. We work together out of the Chicago office. And Steve, you recently published a magazine article about South Africa and Australia tackling AI inventorship and patents. Can you tell our listeners, like, a brief description, some examples of patents that are invented by AI?
Yeah, that'd be my pleasure, Tracy. There are many areas of technology that AI is assisting in doing a bang-up job, I must say. AI is currently being used to invent in the areas of designing jet engines, and that's at General Electric. We have engineers in Wisconsin having optimized efficiency and minimized emissions for diesel engines. There are engineers in Virginia that are designing satellite communication antennas using AI. Car and truck companies are using driverless cars developed by AI. Being a lawyer, it certainly interests me that lawsuits and even patent applications are being drafted by AI robots. And finally, diseases are being detected using AI systems. You know, one of the things that comes to mind for me is a quote by Stephen Hawking. He stated, the short-term impact of AI depends on who controls it. The long-term impact depends on whether it can be controlled at all.
Lots to kind of unpack there. So this question is for both of you. In both of your experiences, do you believe that AI-generated solutions force patent systems across the globe to reevaluate traditional notions of inventorship?
Well, I certainly believe so, Tracy, from my perspective. You know, to provide some background here, patent offices throughout the world are starting to take notice of AI and its possible inventorship role. It started in a country that did not initially examine the patent application at issue substantively. You know, that was South Africa. So in that case, inventorship was not tested or even questioned. The patent application simply issued with AI as the only inventor. The test came in Australia. That was the next step in the process, and the patent office there substantively considered whether AI could be considered as an inventor. In reaching its decision, the Australian court, through a fairly well-known Justice Beach, stated that the Australian patent laws and patent cooperation treaty, commonly known as the PCT, do not clearly exclude AI systems from being considered as inventors. As AI engines, you know, improve, machine learning algorithms get smarter, and those of us who serve as protectors of IP must also get smarter. Changes to current IP laws also need to be considered, and updates need to be encouraged and be efficient and effective in developing the technologies to continue. Legal reforms should also ensure that new technologies are protected as intended by the framers of such laws. In some cases, that may mean IP protection without regard to whether IP was developed by human cognition or AI algorithm. We may not be at the point of reckoning quite yet, but I do believe we're coming closer every day.
Matthias, what do you think?
Well, I think, of course, we have to deal with the topic that patent offices have to consider AI as being an inventor. But I think right now, let's say in 2021 or 2022, the next couple of years, I think that the machine cannot be the sole inventor of a technology. Because my point of view is a machine is still stupid and uncreative. It's a human being who programs and designs the algorithm so that the output is usable. Nevertheless, I think I support the decision that a machine or the algorithms can be named, and they should not be rejected as being part of the or a patent should not be rejected simply because there is mentioned that an AI was part of the invention. But in the end, I think there's a lot of buzz generated around this topic. And for me, working with these kind of technologies, machine learning technology is kind of similar to any kind of other machines that we know from a world outside of the digital. Yeah, just you also have machines in mechanical engineering, and some of them are quite autonomous in terms of what they create. They also work with sensors. They have feedback mechanisms. So I'm a bit more on skeptical how far the inventorship of a machine can really reach. Maybe in 10, 20 years, it's a total different setting. You never know. If we look back,
and rightfully so, it's brand new, kind of.
And from my perspective, I kind of look into the future on a regular basis in patent law, right? And so, from that perspective, it seems to me that we end up in a situation where there's kind of like three buckets, right? No, AI cannot be an inventor at all. AI can be a sole inventor, and then AI can possibly be a co-inventor with a human being. So that's kind of the range, if you will, of what I see coming down. And we can talk about the case law here shortly, but the bottom line is I think it's kind of moving in a direction to at least be in the middle to the right versus, AI not being an inventor.
I agree, Steve. I think especially this being a co-inventor, and that's the beauty of AI in general. So if we manage to combine the human creativity and let's say the human brain with all the advantages that it has compared to an AI, and let's say the quickness or the speed, the calculation power of artificial intelligence, if we are able to combine this, we will have a huge, let's say, quantum leap in terms of creativity, inventorship. I think there's a lot of interesting things to come, but it is, at least for me, it's very hard to kind of create a prognosis.
Yeah. You know, one other thing that I just saw very, very recently was this supercomputer that they're developing now that has the capability of, it's quantum computing, basically, right? Where that Intel's developing the chip and they're building computers now to handle all of that high-speed data processing. It just seems to me that they just keep on moving the needle higher and higher when it comes to that kind of processing, which is only going to feed and further develop AI systems and their ability to process data quickly, accurately, and then learn based on reiteration.
Learning is a good point, because those machines have to be trained. So you always need somebody to train the machine right. And there are a lot of examples what can go wrong if you train a deep learning or neural network algorithm not the right way. Yeah, there's this famous example of huskies and wolves and the pictures. And that sometimes you have snow in the background, sometimes you have woods in the background, and the machine does not really understand that it has to look only at the animal and not on the background. So what could happen is that you train a machine with actually good data. You have huskies, you have wolves, and you also kind of tag them in the right way. But in the end, if you show the machine snow, just a picture with snow, it would say, okay, to the probability of 50%, this is a husky, which is a human being would never come to such a conclusion. So that's the challenge that we have in the future. But I'm not saying that I think we will get better and better and better in this. And it's really exciting.
Yeah, it seems to me that if you kind of point the AI, engine in the right direction there, you might be able to get it to not consider the background, but just the image. And if that's the case,
absolutely, absolutely. But someone has to kind of define the problem. So in that case, it's still the human being who defines the problem that the AI technology has to solve. And that's from...
At least initially, right? Yes, I agree.
I recently heard a quote from an head of IP of a German DAX company, and he said that's exactly the point for him why the human being still should be in the inventorship, because the human being defines the problem, maybe has not a solution for the problem, but kind of defined the problem in that way and used the AI in that way that a solution came out. And that's for him right now kind of the criteria why a human being should still be named as an inventor. And I think it makes sense to me. Nevertheless, we don't know, as I said, what will be the world in 25 years or 20 years. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, today the human being starts the engine. The question is can, does it have to stop again, or can it continue on its own? Right? Scary.
And Steve, you touched on how artificial intelligence is slowly changing the legal system, but AI is already a vital tool for inventors and multinational enterprises. So, Mateus, can you offer some insight into the role of machine learning and AI in patent searches specifically?
Yeah, so with patent searches, you have a quite defined task in terms of what the machine has to do. Yeah, you could say it's kind of defined where to search, and it's kind of defined what the input is or what the machine has to expect. So in our case, we work a lot to train, let's say, for if you want to do competition monitoring and you are interested, is there somebody doing something similar to what I do? You could use AI in terms of training the neural network specifically on your technology, and all the time due to learning and kind of reacting to the results that you get, you could also move neural networks into a certain direction. Yeah, you can say if the technology is evolving over time, you simply in the old days you kind of had to go back and adapt all your keyword queries. And in the future, I think the AI is learning that evolution automatically, because you, as a human being, as the patent searcher, you react to certain output of the AI, and that influences the AI for the future searches. It doesn't matter if you go into kind of passive monitoring or if you go into an active freedom to operate or patentability search. Yeah. So I think that's where we have a lot of influence with machine learning in terms of patent analytics and patent searching.
And could you describe to our listeners, how exactly does Octamine work? Is there an Android hidden in the back end compiling all patent searches with record speed?
Of course, yeah. We have a whole army of little robots sitting there and doing patent search. No, just kidding. It's statistics. In the end, machine learning is a statistical algorithm. So we use the complete set of patents that has been published over the last years, hundreds of years. And we train the machine on certain concepts and certain patterns. And to explain it in detail, what the machine does is tricky, because at some point with those deep learning neural networks, you do not exactly each step what the machine actually learns. But it's, of course, based on words. It's based on how you just describe a pattern, how to describe a technology in a pattern. And I also think in the near future, we will always have that race that machines are very good in retrieving similar documents to a certain technology. And you will have smart patent attorneys who know how the machines work and try to kind of fool the machines in terms of writing a patent that the machine will not be able to detect it. And then again, the machine will learn with that new data. So there will be a race, I think, in the future in terms of patent searching, and how can you fool maybe also the AI that the patent offices already work with technologies like this. So a patent attorney has to be up to date how documents are being identified by the patent office. And maybe, it will be an interesting race to see.
Sometimes it's not just up to date. You have to actually look into the future. Scary.
Yeah, exactly. That was actually, we had a very good panel discussion yesterday. And that was actually one argument where somebody said, well, a machine sometimes only uses data from the past. Yeah, you trained it with data from the past. But it's sometimes hard for the machine to think what comes ahead. Also in terms of if you want to draft a patent in a way that the competition, so you anticipate what your competition is probably doing in the next couple of years. So you draft a patent in a certain way. A machine, it could be very hard for a machine to anticipate that, anticipate strategies of your competition and give you the right, let's say, data or the right suggestions how to draft a patent or what kind of data you should use. So that's also a very interesting aspect of where the limitations of AI are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you draft a set of claims, you need to consider a very broad-based scope. Well, one of the things that's kind of interesting to me is that if the AI is learning about those kinds of drafting strategies and sees it on a regular basis when it's analyzing data, it may ultimately be able to grasp onto that concept and then use it itself, possibly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's circle back for a minute to artificial inventors. How will a broader scope for the term, quote-unquote, inventor, incentivize the industry?
So I think we need to kind of take a step back here and kind of just outline what's happening right now in the case law and the activity in the courts. In previously decided Dobbs cases, patent applications claiming AI systems as an inventor were rejected by the EPO, the USPTO, and in the UK. In, you know, those refusal decisions, it was reasoned that AI systems don't have legal personality, so they cannot be named as inventors, and those applications were just withdrawn. Then in June 2021, there was an acceptance of a patent application for filing and ultimately allowing the claims in South Africa. Now, that was obviously not a substantive examination, as we previously pointed out, and issued patent is, you know, can be challenged by a third party ultimately. This hasn't happened yet, but it may in the future. Then the next case in July of 2021, the Australian court ruled in favor of Dabas, the AI, being a named inventor on the application filed in the Australian Patent Office. Most recently, on November 11th, just this month, the German Federal Patent Court came to the conclusion that the patent protection can be obtained in Germany for inventions generated by an AI, but the designation of the inventor needs to include a human being, and very similar to what we've been discussing here, right? However, it is possible to mention the computer or AI in designation of the inventor as being involved in the invention, and so that's really the very specific point that the German Patent Court came through with. In the U.S., we can talk very just generally. There's a case pending in the District of Virginia right now relating to the same Dobbs system. That case was initially decided at the district court level. There was no indication at all that AI could be named as an inventor, and they actually said the application couldn't move forward because it named the AI solely. So that case is likely going to go on appeal. But if we look a little bit further, obviously the Supreme Court will ultimately have its final say at some point in time. And if we look back at precedent from the Supreme Court, we can see that the term individual in subject matter outside of patent law has previously been discussed, and the court has recognized that an individual may not be specifically a person.
Matthias, is it possible that AI inventors also use Octomind for freedom to operate searches? And would that mean that there's an AI network in the making?
Well, I do think that the software that assists, for example, the patent attorney in drafting the patent can also communicate in a fully automated way with an AI that searches for the relevant prior art or performs an FTO search. However, I think we are still quite far away from an AI network that we know it from, that we know from some of the science fiction movies. So that we have total control of AI over the whole patent procedure and inventorship. I think there's still a long way to go. Nevertheless, I think IP professionals, so the work of IP professionals will be influenced heavily by AI in the next couple of 5 to 10 years. And especially the young IP professionals, but also maybe inventor and people working in the R&D departments, they have to deal with these new technologies. They have to understand how these technologies work. It will influence their daily work. It will help them. But it's I think it's a coexistence. It's speeding up processes. It's helping. And it's not destroying jobs, as some of the people think.
Yeah, that's always a common thought.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the other things that is really kind of on the forefront here is the amount of prior art that is being ingested into the system right now. If you just look at what's going on in China as an example, there's so much data coming on board. You need an engine like this in order to be able to handle that data with any efficiency in order to be able to truly get it to a point where it's usable and can be, you know, used for things like freedom to operate searches and opinions that are driven from those searches.
Absolutely, Steve. That's exactly the point. It's the amount of data. We already see that AI has in. There's a famous saying: as soon as it works, no one calls it AI anymore.
It's so true.
And We see this, for example, with machine learning. It's already in there. Yeah. So in preparation of this, of course, I'm a German native speaker, so I have to prepare sometimes. So and some quotes I use machine learning for translation, and it works perfectly. Yeah. So and already with these Chinese documents, we use AI to a big in a big extent. So all these machine translations, they are done by AI. We already use it. It will be more in the near future.
Don't you also see it getting better and better every time you use it?
Absolutely.
Right? So it truly is using prior data and then improving.
Absolutely. When I really started using it very early, I think back in those days it was Google Translate. Now I'm also using DeepL as translator. And you really, sometimes you have complicated text with a lot of, let's say, words in there and a lot of commas. And I'm fascinated how good these machines are. And it's really, also if you translate from English to German, and German is not an easy to use and easy to learn language, it's amazing how good those machines work. I think there's one job that is at risk, and that's, how do you say, simultaneous translator, or how's it called in English? So those jobs,
real-time translator,
thank you. So those jobs, I think they are at risk, because that will be done by machines very, very soon.
Yeah, exactly. They're getting so good at that and so quick.
And now we're coming to the fun part of the podcast. We always ask a fun question. So here is one for both of you. If you were directing a movie on AI inventorship and AI patent search tools, how would you call the movie?
Well, I mean, I kind of immediately turn to my legal background and think of Latin, right? So for me, if I think about it, the title would be Tabula Rasa. And in English, it translates to blank slate. In context, it's a theory that individuals are born without built-in mental content, and therefore knowledge really comes from sensory experiences or perceptions. And I think that's quite apropos for an AI movie that uses their inventions and patent law.
I immediately think about science fiction movies, and there's one movie that comes to my mind, a real movie. It's called Day After Tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I think there's still some time to go, but there will be a future with a lot of AI. But it probably takes longer. In some areas, it will take longer than we think or even not work. And in some other areas, it will be faster than we all think.
Well, it sounds to me like there's still a lot of learning that needs to be done on the legal side and also the technology side in order for AI as inventors to really change the system. So I want to thank you both for your insights today. Really, really great discussion.
Thank you, Tracy. Really enjoyed the time.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Steve. I really enjoyed it.